Welcome to episode 46. Yeah, it's already 46 of the TM podcast. Today with a very special episode based on the relative success of the Working in TM episode. We thought about a new episode, Working in TM Corona Edition. And this is a bit of a special setup, so have mercy for any technical problems or audio quality issues you may have, or we may have, but we try our best. So we want to talk about working in TM in times of Corona, and we have a huge list of attendees today. So would you please introduce yourselves? Lars, maybe you first.
Yeah, hello. My name is Lars, and I'm developer in transportation management. And it's great that I can be here today from home office, as everyone. So,
you work from home. Okay, I see. Jenny.
Yeah, hello. My name is Jenny, and I'm Scrum Master in one of the order management teams based in Waldorf. And I'm happy to be in the call as well, or in the podcast.
Working from home,
I guess. Yeah, with kids. Yeah, or one of these.
Felix.
Yeah, hi, my name is Felix. I'm also happy to be back as part of the TM podcast, and I'm a developer in the on one of the order management teams as well.
And where are you at the moment?
I'm in at home, working from home.
Oh, I see. Steffi, how about you?
Yeah, hi, my name is Steffi. I'm development manager in transportation management and working from home as well, together with my two daughters.
I see. And finally, Thomas.
Yes, hello, Thomas here in the line. I'm also one of the development managers in the TM team, and you might remember me from the episode Working in TM. I'm also calling from my home office, and actually I would say it feels more like office.
Yeah, and my name is Bernd Dietrich. I'm one of the architects in order management, and I'm working from home. And I'm already working from home for 6 weeks now. So, we are recorded here. Nice. Exactly. And maybe we can start with a little history of how Corona and TM came together, so to say. Huh? So, I think it all started globally. Okay, in China, I think it started way earlier last year. Okay, when are we recording for the statistics? So it's 3rd of April currently. So we are on the an early peak of Corona times, I would say. Let's see how it evolves. But let's say it started with Corona in China, right? Our Chinese colleagues kind of disappeared or worked from home last year, and then nothing great happened, I would say, on our side until carnival season here in Germany, Italy, all over Europe. There was a carnival break, and quite some colleagues went to vacations, including, for example, me. And when I came back, it was already a question, should I stay or should I go now? I won't sing, no worries. We started in this vacation times, or was it things vacations here, and carnival vacations. And when I came back, I think there was already the question, can I go to the office or not? And when I came back, people already started looking scared at me, so because they knew I was in Italy, but I was actually what was considered a safe part of Italy. But then during the day, that part or that evaluation changed, and I think I came in at 8 and then left at 11:30 or so, right? And started working from home, from the kitchen in the first place, but then after a while, I think 2 weeks later, I guess, yeah, when I was on home evacuation or home quarantine or whatever you would call it for 2 weeks, and then I hoped to get back to the office. But exactly after that 2 weeks, the office were kind of shut down, right? Thomas. So if I remember right, it was first just a recommendation to stay home. Is that right? Home anyways.
That's correct. For you, you had to stay at home because you came from a dangerous country. For the others, it was just a recommendation. And maybe one thing we could add regarding our colleagues in China. At this point in time, we do not have a TM team working in China. We did have one 2 years ago and earlier, but at this point in time, we don't have direct TM colleagues in China. But for other applications, like, for example, our global track and trace team, they directly work together with SAP teams in China. And they, of course, felt the coronavirus earlier because the offices in Shanghai were shut down. People were not able to come back from their New Year festivals in China. So they felt the direct effects of the corona crisis already in January.
We also had friends working or living in China and working there currently. And during Chinese New Year, they were on vacation. Then they came back to Germany to avoid the crisis, but didn't really work out. So meanwhile, they are back in China as well. Yeah, it reached us. Yeah, and then from then on, I would say everybody is working from home now, like 4 weeks now, right? Already?
Three weeks.
3 weeks feels like four. okay. And we just want to share our experience, how we work. So technically, socially, our experience gives some signal we are still alive and developing. But also maybe we can share one or the other ideas or concepts we have that may also apply to others out there. And maybe we can start with a tech side of the story. So maybe just talk about the tools that we use. So Felix Lars, you're young, you know technology, right? So
maybe
just talk about our tools.
Maybe we can start working about how we can access all the SAP servers and all the SAP systems. So there are different VPN services available where SAP IT is working hard to distribute the utilization so that everyone can access all systems, has a stable connection. So for me personally, those connections work pretty good. I've heard from other colleagues who had connection issues several days ago to the development systems. I don't know if any one of you has experienced some of these issues. For me, it's working very good.
I was also pretty impressed, I have to say. So, I mean, we are kind of, I don't know how many people normally would dial into Waldorf via VPN. I would guess maybe 10,000 or so. And then I think from 3 weeks ago, it was 100,000 all day. And I'm really impressed how well our
infrastructure.
Me too, yeah.
So you can rely on SAP and an IT question. But really tough. I think I know that in some other companies, switching to home office was quite a challenge for the IT infrastructure as well, and also for larger companies. So that's a.
But basically, basically SAP did it in 1 day, switch the whole company in home office, so all colleagues. And I think, in 99% or maybe a little bit less, but it works fine, and that's a good job, I would say.
I also think we profit now from the fact that mobile work is something that is already practiced in SAP for a long time. It's one of our standards. Everybody has a laptop, everybody has the equipment, nearly everybody did home office before, maybe not to that extent, but it's a common practice in SAP. And so we were not surprised by this and first had to buy laptops for everybody or headsets and so on. We are in a lucky situation regarding this.
And we were also allowed to take the equipment home. So big monitors and stuff like that. So a couple of colleagues went there on the weekend and took their stuff. So most of us have also the big screens at home now. So it feels a little bit like in the office.
Yeah, I even took my chair.
I didn't want to tell that, Ben, but I don't know whether this was officially allowed.
Yeah, totally transparent. Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was one. It's important, right? For
but I leave the desk still in the office.
So. Yeah. But I also heard from other friends who were actually not allowed to take anything with them. So not even a cable or something like that. And we can take more or less our whole equipment. So this is really good. Yeah,
that makes it very, very easy to get used to working from home as well.
And what's also interesting now, if you order new equipment, because here and there you might miss a piece. I think, Steffi, you ordered something, right? They now even have home delivery for office equipment, right?
Yes, exactly. And it was really fast. I offered in the afternoon one day and it arrived next day before lunch. And it was really great. Yeah, I enjoyed this experience and was not aware of that. Maybe it would be something different if you order a webcam. Not really sure.
Out of stock.
Might be a shortage. Toilet paper. Yeah. Yeah.
But you have a source, Bernd.
I have a source. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
If you need toilet paper, it's ille.de. So the but okay, that's another.
Now
story.
You get a special package from them.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but the sound station arrived very fast, I have to say, and I heard similar stories from other colleagues as well.
Yeah, because getting home equipment here currently, at least in the supermarkets or electronic markets, is pretty tough access, and they are closed. So the pure electronic markets are in a way closed. You cannot order, and I think also ordering something online for the typical office equipment is maybe also a bit difficult. So having that even delivered from company home, that's a cool thing. Yeah. Okay, that's the, let's say, the basic infrastructure. Maybe we can also talk a bit about the software that we use to collaborate. Maybe that might also be interesting to others.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. So for collaboration and, well, primarily communication, there are different ways. So I guess in the early days of SAP, Skype was the most commonly used tool for communication and conference calls. And
I think in the early days it was fax.
Yeah, in the... In the early days of modern technology. And now I'm not sure when it was introduced, but maybe a year ago, Microsoft Teams was introduced at SAP as well. So they both are running in parallel. And now there's a really big shift happening from Skype to Microsoft Teams. So basically all meetings shift from Skype to Teams because... Well, it just was more stable than Skype, with everyone dialing in and everyone, taking part remotely.
I think the codec is also a bit more efficient, right? I think the, even with many attendees, sound quality, etc., is better. It's my feeling.
Better. So. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That is one part of it, right? So for collaboration. So if you have set up a call or something, then we use Teams. Interestingly, at the school of one of my kids, they're also using Teams for schooling, for homeschooling. So they also have their setup and daily scrums and that kind of things, also using Teams. For the other, it's not that good. But it does its job, right?
Yeah, and I guess it works very well. So
I think it also has some more options or possibilities than Skype. You can connect meetings or Teams where you can share content as well and do all this stuff. So this has much more options.
And you can blur your background in case you have not tidied up your room, your office, before your meeting.
Talking about
it
room.
Talking about room, Bernd stole my transition. Yeah, so talking about room, there's another good collaboration tool, which is actually developed by SAP. It's called Room, it's RWM. So not W, but two U's. And this we use mainly for organizing tasks, so distributing or maybe collecting tasks, logging progress, logging issues we find, and where we have a... So maybe, Ant, you can tell a little bit about the general concept of Room.
Yeah, Room, that's a collaboration tool developed by kind of an internal startup at SAP. And which has is coming from project management originally, I think. And we kind of has been the early adapters of that. We kind of did some prototyping to integrate it into our application, just prototype. But we also use it productively. If you have like smallish tasks, so like our certain development topics, we create a room, which is it's an online tool. So you can basically define chapters, you can define tasks, assign people to tasks, and it's all very easy and quick. As usually at SAP, so that's and even better than what you're used to from SAP. So it's very simple to use and fast, and all you need to do for organizing yourself in a team. So if we, for example, work on a new backlog item, which we still use Jira for, is to define the small tasks, rearrange it between or redistribute it between colleagues. If you run over an issue, we also record it there. We collect the design links, all that kind of stuff in that room. And then once the development is done, that room goes sleeping. So basically it's done. It's not like an archive. It's more like a working document, I would say. Yeah. So that's what it's really good at. So that's room, and I think we used it before, but now it becomes even more important. For example, we know it's like an internal test day, right? And then all the issues, small ones, has been noted, which you normally maybe would put on a whiteboard or so, has been taken then item in the room.
And maybe when you say whiteboard, another tool we recently used is Mural, which is also like a digital whiteboard where people can create post-its, for example. So we used it in our retrospective creating or collecting feedback in a collaborative way. And it's like a little bit, it's not just simple text, it's a little bit more visualized and you can organize it, move things easily around. And I think this has been adapted in a few teams across SAP as well.
And that's basically it, right? Okay, I mean, we also use Office Online a lot, I would say. So like the design work, when you work on design documents together, that works pretty well, I would say, with Word Online, Excel Online for feedback, Excel, for example. So that is something, but okay, maybe that also has been the same before Corona, so now it just makes things easier, right?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe. And let me add. I think technology is important, but it's only the basis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What I think is the main success factor to make this collaboration a success in these days, in these difficult circumstances, are the people. Yeah, and their endeavor to work together, to communicate, to be open, to try out new things. The best technology would not help if there would not be this endeavor to really collaborate in these times. Without the technology, of course, it would also not be possible. But I think no matter which tool we use, if you are open and you are willing to try out things and you put in some creativity, you can make it work.
That leads maybe to the next point, how we use that technology for our structure, right? So of our teamwork. Jenny, I think there are some of the, you are a Scrum Master. Some of the dates that we had just became digital, but we also introduced new concepts, right? So like the e-coffee, maybe you can elaborate, or e-T, it's e-coffee, right? It depends. Maybe you can talk about that a bit. So the extra meetings that we introduced.
The extra meeting, of course. We also have, as always in Scrum, we had all our Scrum meetings online before, so it was not a big change, despite people were willing to open their cameras for the meetings, which makes it more nice to join. But what was really missing in the home office was this, should we go for a coffee? Should we have a break? Should we just chat? Of course, you are talking a lot of private stuff, but also somehow it always turns out to be also business questions discussed in such coffee meetings. So I heard in the Scrum Master roundtable just a few 2 weeks back that teams are starting to always have a MS Teams meeting open, where the complete team is invited, and whenever somebody feels he's lonely or he's having a cup of coffee but nobody is drinking with him and discussing the latest news or whatever.
New company car.
New company car, right?
Rumors. You know?
And stuff like that. Yeah. I'm still curious about your choice, Bernd, about company car, but you know my favorite one will never be yours, but let's see.
You know.
We still have a couple of years to go.
Yes.
I prefer the guys from Munich, but let's see. Okay. And we introduced this kind of e-coffee, we call it. So we have MS Teams for the complete period of time. It's more or less open. What we are saying, let's meet at 8:30 and let's meet maybe 2:30. And whoever has in this time frame the need of talking to somebody or just want to have 5 minutes without work, just can join. So if the first ones open the meeting, everybody who's invited to the meeting gets this pop-up and it's like, oh, Bernd is opening the coffee chat. Maybe
again?
I should join.
Again?
Again. And then others are joining, and usually we are 5 to 7 people inside. Everybody more or less has the camera open, despite how fit you look like maybe this morning. And then we're having the coffee together. And of course, we are talking a lot about Corona, current situation, giving us tips what the best home delivery for lunch is or something like that when we are living in the same location. Yeah, but sometimes we also discuss, okay, I have problems with the network, and we give us some hints how we could improve working conditions at home and stuff like that. So here the team feeling spirit is coming up again, and this is really nice, and I'm happy people are using it. So, yeah.
I think one thing I also recognize, a bit similar, but not identical, is that some of the, let's say, sub-teams, so 2 or 3 colleagues working on one new development topic, I think they also often have the kind of the Teams channel open all the time, even if they develop, and then they kind of dial in again and out, include others into that virtual team. That also works pretty nice, I would say. So it's something we never did before, I would say, because, okay, typically you physically also sit together working on the same. Maybe you move together to a physical room and then code there. But now I think that's also moving towards having like a virtual stream or team in Teams where you work together and then other people join and leave again, right? I think, Felix, you did it last week, right?
Yes, and it's very good. For example, I worked together with a colleague on a topic, and we had a question for another colleague that where we wanted to get some further insights, and we just called him up, added him to the conversation, and if the other colleague has the time to help, then, well, in my experience, there always was some help. And this is very, very helpful and very dynamic, and therefore really helps the communication and the working together in the team as a team. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you can even stick to that once we're back. So when you're not physically sitting next to each other, when we're back in the office, we may even have that channel still open, right? I think Steffi and Thomas, I think for you it's also quite a challenge to do your what we call sub-talk or the kind of frequent feedback or communication session. So what did you have to change to adapt to the situation?
Yeah, so maybe before we come to this, I would like to add that I'm really happy to see all these creative ideas popping up, new meetings, new ideas, how we can communicate. And I'm also impressed how fast these new structures have established and how fast even best practices were derived, for example, in the daily Scrum, how you come to the order, who is talking, someone opens the participant list and then you go through it alphabetically, then everybody knows when he has to talk and he doesn't cut in the word of the others and so on. These are best practices that have been derived in no time. Yeah, and it's really great to see also the creativity that comes with this and how quickly the tools are adapted. I'm not too surprised that our regular meetings are running fine. Yeah, the so-called Scrum artifacts, that the sprint review is working basically like it worked before, because even before people were dialed in, people shared their screen and so on, or that the sprint planning is running fine. It's more these meetings where you have a kind of informal communication. This is, I think, where we need the creativity to keep this information channel open. Yeah, what, like Jenny mentioned, the little chat you have at the coffee machine. Yeah, sometimes it's private things, but sometimes it's also something related to work. You get a piece of information that's useful for you. And my idea was also, how can we keep this informal communication channel up? And so regarding the communication with all the single employees, I used to have a sure fix with every employee, something like once a month, where we talked about 1 hour. So what happened in the last 4 weeks and what are your plans for the next 4 weeks? And in this situation, I found that it doesn't make sense to talk to each and everyone every 4 weeks. I have to get closer to the team and talk to them more often and maybe shorter. So I switched to the mode that I give every employee a call once a week at least, yeah, and we chat just for 20 minutes, maybe half an hour, about how is his situation. I have some information to share, maybe he has some. And if you do this really once a week with everyone, you get a real cross view of the team. Yeah, you see which information arrived, which didn't, where you have to add something, where you have to explain something. And to be honest, in this with teams, I also work with teams, and nearly everybody uses also the webcam. The chats that we have, they feel really natural. It's nice. You see the people, they see me. And I would say it's a bit like visiting each other at home, because you see the setting, you see somebody sitting in his kitchen, some other one has a specific office room in his house, others are sitting on the sofa and so on. It tells a bit, it even adds information, because it tells a bit about the people behind it, how their room is furnished and stuff like this. And so you get a real view of if the people are still happy and so on. And the good news is, I think nearly everybody is fine. We have a good morale, yeah, it's still high. We really work a lot. I'm not sure if we come to this, but I feel at this moment we have a real good momentum. A lot of big things are done. We had important design reviews, testing days and stuff like this. Regarding the situation at home, I think one big difference is if you have kids or not. So the ones who don't have kids, they actually work like before. They have a place where they sit and they work and they are not disturbed. It's more difficult for the colleagues who have kids. They need to be a teacher in the morning for the kids, and maybe the kids want to play with them. They also can't go out and play with their friends. So these colleagues have a more challenging situation, but they still manage it very good. It's also sometimes nice when the kids come in and you see them with the camera walking in the background, or some even gave me a smile or so, whatever. It's also funny to see this. Yeah. But these colleagues have harder times, and they had to restructure their day maybe a bit. So some work rather in the morning and make a longer break in the over lunchtime, and then maybe add an hour in the evening. And one thing that I really think is important, and it's coming from the top management of SAP, is that they gave each and everyone the security that nobody has to worry about his job, and that it's also okay if you can't work 8 hours a day, if you have to take care about your kids and it's only 6 hours, don't worry. And with this, you don't have to be afraid of anything. You don't get into this panic mode. Yeah, what will be next week? And therefore, everybody is still very focused on his work. And if you would ask me, to some degree, people even work harder in the home office.
Yes, I mean, totally agree to that. We are really currently working on something big. specifically across components. So we have now to synchronize with many other colleagues from other products and locations. And for that, maybe it even helps because anyway, it would be hard to get everybody in the same room physically. So we have to get used to that model anyways, maybe. And I'm also, it was good, I think, that we started that project earlier. So we met those, let's say, external colleagues twice, maybe three times in person. But starting from that, I also think it's the collaboration is pretty good. And maybe it's even better for them, for some of the, let's say, externals, because they are now on the same level or when they try to reach somebody from our team and vice versa, as compared to somebody sitting in the same office or so. So maybe that makes even the cross-team collaboration a bit easier. I don't know.
So no, definitely. I don't want, yeah. Definitely, Bernd. I think that's something that I also observed, that now that everybody is remote, some things are even working better. If you have this mixed situation, five people are sitting together in the office and two are on the phone, then sometimes the ones on the phone are simply ignored or they can't really bring in the arguments, or everybody in the room is focused on the phone and then there is actually no discussion in the room itself. Now that everybody has the same rights, so to say, communication, even with other locations or other countries and so on, is even smoother to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One point that you already mentioned, Thomas, the working with kids, something, I mean, I also have kids, but they are older. The only thing is now I get feedback about the way I call. okay, that's also an interesting experience. But let's say, besides that, it's pretty easy for me. But with younger children, I think it's different. Steffi, Jenny, both of you are closer to that situation. Maybe can you also drop some words on that experience? What tips and tricks? How does it work? What works, what not?
Yes, maybe I can say a few words regarding that. It's a tough situation, I would say. It needs some creativity to manage the situation properly. What helps for me is that I blocked some time in my calendar regularly during the day to spend some time with my kids and to talk to them, to discuss school tasks they had, and to reserve some time with them, especially cooking or breakfast, lunch. That helps them a lot to stay in contact and to get the attention they need during the day. And what we also have is we defined rules, right? So if my doors close, they are not allowed to interrupt normally, right? And this works pretty well, I would say. So especially during job interviews, for example, it's not so helpful if you are interrupted. It might be funny, as we can see in some YouTube videos, for example. but in general, it was helpful for me to talk with my kids about the situation and to define rules and what they need and what I need. To feel comfortable at home in this situation. And what makes me more relaxed is that I say, okay, if they are playing and are creative, it's good, right? So they are kids and it's not really necessary that they do their homework all the day and maybe in the same perfect in the same perfect mode as they would do it at school. So it's something different. It's a special situation. And if you're aware of this fact, then it makes it easier because my kids are both in school and it's a bit different to Jenny, right?
Yeah, she's still in kindergarten and she's just one. So it's difficult for her. So actually this morning at 8 o'clock when I started working, my kid just came to me, looked into me with her blue eyes and said, "Mama, it's boring." And it's like, okay, what should I do now? So it's at the moment really hard. Usually she would go to kindergarten at least until 1 o'clock and I would work, and then part-time I'm then off and have the whole afternoon for her. But at the moment, it's really difficult as she's still so small that she don't get the situation completely. She just knows we are usually staying at home, just going out for a walk for 30 minutes, don't meeting any friends. Maybe we're waving them in the garden in the neighborhood, but we don't meet in person. So it's difficult for her, and we try to explain. And of course, what should the kid do the complete day? So she's... I mean, if you're parents as well and listening to this podcast, you know Tiptoy and stuff like that, Tony Box. So we bought a couple of new books, a couple of new figures for that one. So she's working on that. She's painting a lot and looking, unfortunately, a little bit too much television at the moment. She's able herself to do Netflix with almost 4, 5 years old. Yeah, but that's the way it is. And as Thomas said, I'm so happy that the company is very relaxed with that. So sometimes I have dailies where she's sitting on my knees and looking and waving to my colleagues, and it's completely okay for the others. I've heard different things from other friends and under other companies where it's not that gern gesehen, what do you say, where they don't feel that mommies can concentrate on work and on kids in the same time. But we need to, and I think so far it's working pretty good. I mean, my husband is also working part-time, so we are separating work and also SAP. Yeah. So that's okay. Good.
That's what I observed as well. It's really comfortable to have two kids in this situation, mm-hmm. that they play together and be creative and catching all the butterflies and bugs, for example, in the garden. So garden is also helpful.
Debugging in the garden.
Debugging. Finding bugs.
Yeah. And it's really amazing how creative kids could be if they have mm-hmm. time, right?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Maybe one tip from my side. So my kids are a bit older, and they're also bored now. What they started now is they're interested in computer stuff, there are pretty nice tutorials for some software. Like there's one of my kids, he started with Blender, which is 3D modeling, and there are really amazing tutorials. So if your kids are more in the teen age, you may think about at the beginning I took a day off and we did it together, those tutorials, and then from then it moved on. So they're maybe it's also a chance to start something new also in tech. So with Blender, or I think the same thing for Unity or other things. I think it's important that something nice comes out. That maybe if you do a Python tutorial or so, that's also interesting, but maybe not so appealing for teenagers. So maybe it's also something if you're in a similar situation that you could try out. If you're beyond Tiptoy, then maybe Blender or something is the next. Tony Box.
But put it offline. All Tony Box are online usually. You can Google that if you don't know what.
I will.
Put it offline. Otherwise, it's Elektrosmog. Okay. But we also get actually newsletter mails by SIP where they are recommending things for parents, what they can do with their kids, or training how to do a corporate home office and taking care of kids. And I have not looked into that yet, but there are a lot of offerings from SIP dealing with that topic.
Yeah, that's a good point. Talking about how attractive SAP is as an employer, I think we're still also hiring, luckily, and I think that's also a very special situation, right? So doing all that online, Steffi, Thomas, maybe you can also add some words on that experience. So how does this work?
Yeah, this is a really amazing experience, I would say. We discussed and thought about that carefully before we stepped into the virtual hiring process, so completely virtual. Normally, we are doing it in that way that we have some telephone interview in the first step and afterwards an interview in the office building. So we invite the candidates and meet them in person. But now this is not possible, of course, and we decided to do that virtually, and we had our first experience this morning and 2-hour virtual job interview. And to say it in that way, it was really good, I would say. So we used video cameras and yeah, we used all the technique we have in place, and yeah, it was pretty well, Thomas, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. But I think really the decisive factor is that you use the webcam.
Yeah.
I couldn't really imagine it doing just with only audio. It's important that you see the candidate and vice versa, that they see us. And then it didn't feel so much different to the interviews we had in the office building. Yeah, everybody was seeing each other. You see how they react, if they are, I don't know, active or not, if they have energy or not. This is crucial. Without a webcam, I couldn't envision doing it.
Yeah, exactly. That was my feeling as well. And I enjoyed this job interview this morning, and it was very informative, I would say. And we get all the information and all the signals we would like to see, we would like to have. And it makes just a bit different, but not that much what I expected before. And regarding the next steps, if we hire someone, next challenge is to onboard the colleague. So this is really interesting. And first thing is the equipment. As mentioned before, equipment can be ordered or online and be shipped to the private address. So this works pretty well. So the first experience we had with that. And in addition, SAP offers virtual classroom trainings that can be used. So this worked as well, I would say, is what I heard from a new employee. And so all in all, based on the structure that is already there, created by the Scrum Masters and by us, onboarding experience is quite good, I would say.
Okay, that will be interesting, because now I think the full Corona onboarding is still ahead of us, right? So the colleagues that joined so far at least had a physical appearance in the office once. So I think that will be a next step to do all that the Corona way. But I think we are prepared, right? Hopefully.
I hope so too. And next colleague will join in May, and I ordered with him the equipment this week, and first things arrived at his home address, PC of course not, because image has to be installed and so on, but it was quite nice, right? I asked him, what would you like to have, which kind of mouse you would like to have, or which laptop you would like to have, and he sent me links on other stores, or links to other stores, and I searched for that in our internal store, and it was okay.
Okay, nice. I have to get creative here, huh?
So. Yeah, exactly.
But onboarding is definitely a challenge, yeah. To completely onboard somebody who was not before in SAP, it makes a difference if somebody has an internal move, so he at least knows SAP and the way we work. He has already his equipment. Onboarding always has two sides. Yeah? It's the colleague who has to be onboarded, but it's also the other colleagues who onboard him. And regarding this, I'm pretty optimistic that we can also master this challenge, because I see that everybody is really helpful and this is trying to incorporate these new colleagues in the team, in all the conversations and with all the creative ideas we have, to communicate in every channel with them on the very formal ways and on the informal ways, and giving them lessons via Teams or sending them not just papers to read, but really you can have a coding session for iPrinciple together, stuff like this. I think it will also be possible. Everybody has to contribute, of course. It will be a lot of work for us, but it's manageable.
Yeah, and we have good concepts in place, like, for example, the buddy concept. So everybody that is starting new in our team has one buddy he can contact. And this one guides him to the different questions, processes, and brings him closer to our culture, I would say, and to our topics, development, and so on. And this is, I hope, helpful for the colleagues that will start completely new at SAP.
Yeah, at least what I can say is, since we now have onboarded some new colleagues in the nearer past, Is that a word? Okay, so last month. I'm really impressed with their performance already now. So for you on the other side of the TM podcast, so to say, so cool stuff to come also from new colleagues pretty soon. So that's amazing to see with the new colleagues joining now, the additional power that we gain. So cool stuff is coming. Cannot talk about what, but it's cool. That's already something we can say. And talking about onboarding, there's one more thing. We are also onboarding currently, and that's a new breakout from our TM podcast. There will be we are now in the finalization phase of the TM podcast, what we call Black Belt Edition. And the idea behind that podcast is basically diving even a bit deeper. So typically in our episodes, we gave like an overview about features and functions, like package building or so. And we try on and off, we also went a bit deeper, but this one is really about diving to the ground. So most likely, yeah, not as broad. So it's not about package building, but maybe it's about one feature of package building, but then in full. So it will be called TMB, as a TM podcast, Black Belt edition. It will be hosted by OpenSAP. And yeah, we will announce that once it's available on our usual channels, so LinkedIn and SCN, Twitter. So you can look forward to that podcast as well, if you like our current podcast at least. And if you missed a certain death in that podcast, you will definitely find it there.
Yeah, maybe yeah. Before we come to the end of this episode, let me make a kind of a high-level statement. Mm-hmm. I think we talked a lot now about how we work in these times of crisis, but we also have to acknowledge that we work. And that we can work. And that's, I think, also something very important, that the nature of our work allows us to work remotely. And regarding this aspect, we are very, very privileged compared to other colleagues, other industries, people who kind of have to assemble something. They cannot do it at home. They cannot take the machines at home and do their work. They are sitting around. And so we are very privileged that the nature of our work allows us to work. And on top of that, let's say we found good ways on how to do it. But very important, and thanks to this, yeah, here in the IT industry, we can work.
Mm. Something I forgot at the beginning, I think I was also pretty proud of, is that SAP also developed, I think, like overnight or in 24 hours, an app that was used by German government to get everybody home. So I think there were 100,000 of, you know, Germans like to travel. So everybody was anywhere in the world. And to bring them back, the old system just broke down. It was a fit for a few hundred people to bring back, but not for 100,000.
Too many.
Exactly, yeah. And SAP built something overnight, more or less. I think it was like 24 hours. Hopefully it's also used by other governments, but even if it just worked for Germany, that was a cool thing. There's unfortunately not too much we can see. I think we can do directly to help, unlike doctors or so, but at least we can still work and move forward, right?
We can stay at home, right.
Okay. So then I would say thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll hear us with a more, let's say, topic or content, with different content next time, most likely, maybe even in the new podcast. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.